let us bow down and worship. Let us worship before the Lord, our Maker, our Creator. We gather in His name, the light of the world. Light of the world.
You step down into darkness.
Open my eyes,
let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
So
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, and you're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, created all for love's sake, became poor.
So
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah 25. It says this: He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation.
Would you please stand?
Come the font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Here to
raise my Ebenezer, near thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood.
Oh,
to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
You may be seated.
I would sit, but then Bob wouldn't know what to do. Good to see all of you here today. It's, you know, the flowers are not because of a funeral. We thank the Lord for that. The flowers up front are from the family of Karen Dockin. She turns 80, was yesterday. So that's why you see her whole family. There's more? Wow. Well, it's good to see
They're
going to
be here in 20 minutes.
to celebrate her birthday, and just wanted everyone to know that following the service today, you all are welcome to have a cookie in honor of her. And if you see it, some of the family get up during the message or after the message, it's not because they don't like the message, but they are going to go and make some things out into the kitchen to have that ready by the time the worship service is over with. So we are so thankful for Karen. I think it says a lot that your family would want to do this for you, Karen. Could never tell you're from Montana, but you know, there's pictures back there of what it looks like back there in Malta, Montana, or somewhere in there. So.
Should we sing yet? Or is
oh, we should sing around? Happy birthday to not only Karen, but everybody who's had a birthday in October. Just stand where you are and we'll sing happy birthday to our friends.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends.
And Karen.
Happy birthday to you.
Larry, when is your birthday? It was yesterday. That was the 14th, right? 14th, wow. Mine was the 11th. So I just was wondering, I go like, when is your birthday? When was yours, Terry? 12th. That was the day after mine. No kidding. I'm trying to think. I think there's somebody in this church, too, that has the same birthday as me. Who? Oh, it's Winkowicz. And he's not here today. Dan, the man. I did ask him to preach. I was going to be gone here in a couple of weeks, but he's not going to preach, but Rick Porter will be here on that Sunday, just so you know that you'll have a different voice coming on the last Sunday of October. But good to see everybody here today. Do want to make one announcement that's not in here. It's also that the property committee is meeting today following the service in the library. So those of you that are in that committee, get yourself something, some coffee or whatever it is, and then go down to the library, and you will be making some decisions down there, I believe. So just want to remind you that the booklets are available today, the semi-annual booklet in the back. If you haven't received one, please take one, and if we need to make more, we'll make more as far as that goes. But they're available back there today. And I want you to be mindful of that the you see the announcements in this half sheet here, that there's a lot of things going on this week, and there's some changes. The ladies are meeting for their luncheon, but it will not be on Wednesday this time. It'll be on Thursday, and it's a different time as well. It's at 10:30 at the new Pancake House in Spirit Lake. And so that's at 10:30, isn't it? Where am I? Maybe it's not in there. Third from the bottom. Oh, way down there. Okay, yeah. 10:30 is when the ladies will meet. And if you want to sign up, you can sign up in the kitchen. There's a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator there in the kitchen. So help yourself to that. Or if you are new here and you'd like to still come, maybe you could say, like, where's the kitchen at? Or say, would you be my guest, and I will sign you up, so that you don't have to go into the kitchen to to do that. But that's going to be taking place. Also let you know that we just put in there the finances, the financial situation of the church. It'll be done every month after our church council meeting of the month, just so you are aware of what's kind of going on with that area of the church. And then also this Wednesday night is the famous Dean Ramsey Wednesday Night Fellowship. Dean is here, right? He's not here. But you see what's going on. We have somebody that's coming that maybe you've never met him. I think I have met him, but it is John and Julie Battern. And they're part of the SWIM, but he's also starting a ministry of his own called Live for Him Ministries. So he will be here this Wednesday. There is supper at 6 o'clock. Just bring a side dish like you normally do, and the main meal will be brought in. I think it's going to be chicken, isn't it? No, it doesn't have to be. It can be pork. It can be hamburgers. It can be hot dogs. I don't care. But it'll be grilled. The main course will be there. Just bring a side dish if you'd like to be a part of that. And we're usually done right around 7 o'clock, just so that you know it's not an all-night thing type of a deal. So that's kind of what's happening there. There's other things in your bulletin, and you see on the back side is just for the blessing box. It's just been amazing that last week the blessing box was like in trouble. There wasn't a whole lot in the storage room, and today, Dave, it's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah. Fair, we gave $1,270 just this week.
To put in the blessing box. Amazing.
And then 7 days prior, they gave $555. About $1,800 just in the last week.
Yeah, it's being used, isn't it? It's being used. Thanks to you and John and Ken for taking care of resupplying that box on a very... The new chipment is also, too. Okay, that
chipment.
Helps. Well, I think, just to let you know that Becky Rowe, her brother passed away, and she's just had surgery here in the last week, and she's at her daughter's place here in Spirit Lake recovering from that. But she's got word that her brother passed away what's that? Oh, she's back home. Okay, so Becky is back home. So I don't know what will take place with her brother, but you can call her and find out about that. So that is all the announcements that I'm going to make. I just want to have a word of prayer with everyone as we charge ahead here with our service today. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, with heavy hearts for those in the country of Israel and the Gaza Strip. And we just pray, Lord, that you be with the leaders of Israel as they have gotten together and they are wondering how to proceed with what is taking place. And Lord, we truly see what hate can do, and we also can see what patience brings about in a time like this as well. Lord, this world is not kind to Israel, and it's not kind to Christians either. There are people, Lord, who would hate us today, no matter what we would say, just because we stand for Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so, Lord, I don't get it, but I go like it's reality that we live in a day where Christians will be persecuted, and they are being persecuted around the world in different places. And it might come to our country here as time gets closer to your return, whenever that may be. But we can be ready, Lord. It's just by faith we believe and trust in Jesus, and we know that He's our Savior in our hearts and our lives. And we know that just by believing in Jesus, it can cause division in families, in friendships, and in churches. And I just don't understand all this, Lord, but your word tells us that this is kind of what happens. But we know that in the end, when we read the book of Revelation, we know that the winners, in the world's eyes, are probably the losers, but in your eyes, the ones who love Jesus Christ will win. And we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for everyone that is here today, Lord. May today, may everyone know that it's not just because of Karen Dawkins' birthday, but that we're here because Jesus has brought us here today. He's laid it on our hearts and our minds to come. And so we just pray that you would use this time that we can be ready if we're not ready when you come, and that you would work in our hearts and lives to draw us closer to you. And so we just give you thanks for the love that is always found here. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins because you went to the cross and died in our place. And it's you, Lord, that gives us eternal life. So we thank you, Lord, for the hope that was always found in you. And we pray that you be with the rest of our service today. Do what only you can do as you speak to hearts and change lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, that's right, there is no song. So then what? Okay. I got here in pink. Please stand as we do the responsive reading. Why do we stand, you may ask? Out of respect to God's word. And that's what we are saying here together in a responsive reading. It's Psalm 23. The psalm that I heard my dad say to me in his hospital bed the last time I saw him before he died. Psalm 23. And he said it by memory. I don't even think I can do that. But here we go. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy follow me all of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. The next song that we sing, it is one of the favorites of Karen Dawkins today, and that is why we are going to sing this song. And you're going to join us as well.
Come to me, I am the comforter. Come, crawl up on my knees. Heart, find your rest in me. Come to me, I am the comforter. Come, crawl upon my knee. Lay your head close against my heart. Hurts too much to cry, I will hold you. When you feel that you will never make it through, when you need someone to hold you, I'll enfold you in my arms. For my child, I love you. Come to me, I am the comfort. heart. Find your rest in me. When the days are long and life feels so empty, in the lonely nights I'll stay by your side. When you can't explain your feelings, I will listen to your heart. I will hear the thoughts you hide. Come to me, I am the comforter. Come crawl up on my knee. Lay your head close against my heart. Find your rest in me. Come to me, I am the comforter. Come crawl up on my knee. Lay your head close against my heart. Find your rest in me. Find your rest in me.
You can sit down and invite the rest of you to stand. I guess you can stand too, praise band. The message today comes from Matthew. We've been going through the book of Matthew for quite some time here. But God's word comes to us this morning from Matthew 21, verses 23, no, it's 22, Matthew 22. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Matthew 22, 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said this, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Lord, thank you for your word that we have before us. Thank you for the privilege it is to preach on this text. I ask you to help me to preach and to make it understandable and to flesh out some things that maybe, even though they've heard it before, they will see something new in your text here today. But it's for us. Use it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Jesus has been questioned before. He was questioned about his authority, and now he is being questioned about paying taxes. How many of you like paying taxes? Raise your hand. You know, none of us. And so here's a question given to Jesus. But notice the intent of what's going to be taking place here. The intent of the Pharisees, who are against Roman rule and against the Romans, got together with the Herodians, who are pro-Rome, and they are loyal to the Romans. They're there to trap Jesus in his own words. And this is a setup. It's a setup. And so the question comes, in your own opinion, Jesus, in your own opinion, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now this question comes after they have complimented him. They were buttering him up about his integrity and his how he teaches. They love what he says, has to say. They love his teaching because they know that Jesus isn't wishy-washy on what he says. And they also know that he's a kind of person that it doesn't matter who you are. You could be even Caesar yourself, and Jesus would still say what he would say to anyone else. If you're even important in your community, a leader of any kind, it didn't matter to Jesus. He just said, well, you put your pants on just like I do. Well, maybe you don't put your pants on, but you put your robe on the way I do. You put your sandals on the way that I do. But he treats everyone the same, all of us. And he's being asked, give us your opinion. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That's the tricky question. Before we get further into that, I want to let you see something that's interesting in this text that maybe you've never seen before. But the two parties involved are the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Herodians are those that are loyal to like King Herod, anyone from the Herod family, they are on board with that family. But the Herodians and the Pharisees, they hated each other. They would never be caught dead in the same place at the same time. And here we find them, they come together, but the intent is to try to trap Jesus. So they're pretending, everything that they're saying to Jesus here, they're pretending, being nice to him when really they hate him. We have seen that, I've heard about that here in the last week. There are people who claim that Israel is okay, but yet in their hearts, they can't stand him and they want to kill him. No one ever calls him on that because we cannot see what's in a person's heart, but Jesus can, and Jesus does. He knows what's in your heart here today. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? You know, it should if you know that you are a sinner, because you know you're guilty. You're condemned by your sin. And Jesus is the only one that can forgive you and wipe your slate clean. It is no wonder that Jesus calls them hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? It's a nice way of, well, maybe that's not a nice thing to be called, but a hypocrite in the Greek means it is you're like in a play and you've got a mask on. So you become somebody else. You're not the real person. And so Jesus calls these guys, the Pharisees and these Herodians, hypocrites, because that's really what they are. Jesus knows the intents of their heart, why they're there and why they're asking the question. There was, at this time in history, what was called a poll tax. And it was one that Rome required everyone who was in Israel to pay this tax to Rome. And of course, the Herodians would be, hey, nothing wrong with that, we'll do it. The Pharisees would say, like, we hate this tax because it supports the Romans. But the poll tax, and I don't know how this is ever done, but it says that every guy that was 14 years old or older, and every girl that was 12 years old, they had to pay this tax to the Romans. It was a denarius, which is a silver coin that was one day's wage. And that's what you had to pay to Rome. For us, how many months does it take that we pay in for income tax before April 15th? We hear about that the closer we get to that day. And so the Jewish boy who is 14 years old or older, of course, he would be looked upon as a man at that age. A girl would be looked upon as a woman at the age of 12 and thereafter. But they also had to pay this denarius to Rome until they were 65 years old. So that really meant for a lot of these people, you paid this tax probably your whole life. Because a lot of them didn't make it to 65. So Jesus is being asked by the Pharisees, who are anti who? Rome. And the Herodians, who are pro Rome. They're different. They ask Jesus, who do you pay? So what does Jesus do first? We first see where Jesus says that he knows the intents of their heart. So it's probably an easier thing to do, what he did, than it would be for us. He knew their intentions were to try to trap him and to do that in his own words. And so what does Jesus do? He asks that somebody give him a coin. I got a coin with me. It's a silver dollar. Iris? Oh, you wouldn't know. This is before your time. Tristan, this is before your time, but you might know. Who's on the front of this silver dollar? Who is that guy? Carter? See it, Tom? Do you know who it is? It's okay. I'm going to ask your dad. Jack? Who is that guy?
My eyes aren't good enough to see.
Here. Yeah, who said that? It is. Look at the ear. That's probably why you know. 1972, it came out with the Eisenhower silver dollar. The phone came later on. Now, we can tell by the person on here that it is Dwight D. Is it D? D. Eisenhower. Most of you know who he is. If we turn the coin on the back side, what do you see, Jeff? You got glasses, so you can see.
Yeah.
Okay.
United States of America, $1 eagle.
Okay, there's an eagle in the back. And if you look close at that, Jeff, what else do you see? What is the eagle landing on?
Oh, is that the olive branch?
No. It's the moon. The eagle is landing on the moon because why? Would that be so important to put that on the back of Dwight D. Eisenhower silver dollar? What year did we land on the moon? The eagle has landed. It was in 1960. Was it? Okay. All I know is I was at a race in Minot, North Dakota, when they said, we landed on the moon. All right. Oh, there's one more thing on here, Jeff. What else do you see written on the back of this coin? You want to look at it closer? You're going to find a couple of words that are not written in English. E pluribus, whatever it is, unum. E pluribus, e pluribus. All right, thank you. Oh, Tristan, I'm sorry. Would you have known who this guy was? I didn't think so. All right. Anyway. Jesus asked for a coin, and he said, look who's on the front of this coin. And it would be the head or the profile of Caesar, whoever was in kind of, had been a Caesar either before or the present-day Caesar that would be in Rome. And then he had him look, turn on the backside. And there you would find that on the back of the coin would be the words Pontifex Maximus. And you all know what that means, right? Pontifex Maximus. In Jesus' day, Jesus would understand that to mean that then this is the religious position that the Caesar in Rome, it's what he is. And so Jesus would see that here is the high priest, which would be looked upon as, Caesar was looked upon as being a god at the time, and he's also the high priest of whatever religion he practiced or that he was. We have e pluribus unum. How many of you know what that means? Of course, you look on your phones, you can find it out real quick. But it means out of many, one. That's on every coin made of silver or gold in the United States. Out of many, one. And we can understand that. We come from all different countries, all different places in the world. We come to America, and yet we're still one. We're Americans. It means something. So Jesus says this, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. What a great comeback. He was being set up for this. If he would have said, if Jesus would have said, pay the tax, whose side would he be on? The Herodians. He would be for Rome. How would that make the Jews feel if Jesus said to pay the Romans? He would alienate himself from the Jews. And so if he would have said, don't pay Rome, what would that do to the Herodians? It'd make them mad. The interesting thing is this. Remember when Jesus was being tried before he was crucified in front of Pontius Pilate? One of the accusations that was given about Jesus is that he was trying to subvert the country by saying, don't pay the tax. He was against paying the tax. You find that in Luke 23, verse 2, where they accuse Jesus of opposing paying the taxes that went to Rome, which was a false accusation. But that's what they held against him. We also find earlier on that with Peter, who is one of the apostles of Jesus, they asked Jesus why he and his followers and Jesus did not pay the temple tax. There's another tax. And you find that in Matthew 17, verse 24 and following. The temple tax was a tax that would take care of what was going on in the upkeep of the temple and its services. They call it 2 drachma. That was a payment, was another, I don't know, it wasn't a very big tax, but it still was something that set upon the people that they had to do. And so when they heard what Jesus said, pay Caesar what is Caesar's, but pay God what is God's, it'd be like saying today, give to Uncle Sam what is Uncle Sam's, and give to God what is God's. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Also stated by Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21. So let me just ask you this morning in closing, where is your heart? Where's your heart? See, they don't want to hear the message. That's why they laugh. Is your heart, which tells us where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, we've given out, today is the booklet, the semi-annual booklet of the church, of Harbor of Joy. And I know that probably the first place where many of you will go is going to go where? Where? To the financials. I go, aren't you interested in the ministry of the church as a whole? It's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's what God does and how he uses us in the lives of people throughout the year. God has always promised that he will provide, and he has. So, where is your heart today? In the Old Testament, the giving there was 10%. And of course, for some, we'd say, yeah, there's no way you can do that. We struggled with this when we were first married. There's no way we could give 10%. But a day came when we said, you know, we have to tithe. That's something that was really missing in our spiritual life. And it hurt. It hurt to tithe 10%. But we did it at that time. This is like 40-some years ago. But it wasn't until we started tithing that we noticed some things that we never, ever experienced before, which we didn't think was possible. Sharon threw the checkbook at me. No. That was later on in life. But we found that we had enough money to take care of the bills with a little left over that we never thought would be possible. And we have stayed true to tithing ever since. I remember as a young person thinking that if I gave $20 to the church, that was a lot. I would never ever think of giving $100 a month to the church. But that day came when we could do that. And it's in the New Testament we find that it's not the 10%, it's just how you see you're being blessed. Go by your blessings. How has God provided for you in life along the way? It's just one of those things where you go like, you know, maybe you've never had anyone talk to you about that, or you've never been challenged by that, but I just say, try it. Just try it for 3 months. See what happens. It can change your life in how you think about giving. I remember my mother, hi Mom, I know you're on the Zoom. I remember my mother one time when I was just, this was before, we were still at home, and that we were going to go to church, and I said, so what did you give to the church, Mom? Of course, that, you just don't talk about those things. And Mom says, well, I'm giving what my mother gave. If that's not enough, tough. I said, what did she give? $5. And I said, like, well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. But she said, if it was good enough for my mother, it was good enough for me. So I about imagined then that's what she gave then to the church whenever we went, which wasn't probably all that often. So it's something that we had to work through ourselves, personally as well as a married couple. And just say it wasn't easy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, maybe for you either. But there's something about being set free where you see life in a way that you never have seen it before. And it was always good then to go to church that we could say that we give a tithe. So I don't know where you're at with that, and that's between you and God. I don't care what you give. Give to Uncle Sam what is his. And some of you give a lot to Uncle Sam. But give to God what is God's. You know, God doesn't care about your money, but he cares about your heart. Where are you with him? That's what matters the most to him. God doesn't have you until he has your bank account. God doesn't have you until he has your checkbook. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But think about that. It's for our good. It's a way of trusting God. It's a way of depending on him. And so I just want you to know, I don't know what anyone here gives. And I don't want to know. If there was even something written down that was given out for everyone to see, I wouldn't even want to look at that page. Because that's between you and God. That's where it should be. No one else should know. But you know in your heart when it's right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, didn't intend this to be a kind of a stewardship kind of a message. But then again, someone has to say it. Tell it like it is, because Jesus always did that. And he did it in a way that people could understand it clearly, and it was always done in a way that would be helpful. So we thank you for the ways in which you work in our hearts and our lives, because there's probably stories, many that are here today, of how someone dealt with this whole issue of tithing and giving to the church and Lord, we know that there are people out there who stay away from the church because all they say is that all the church wants is interested in is my money. And our church is like that, and it does happen. But they're missing the point. What is the church doing ministry-wise that's having a difference in the lives of people outside of these walls and sometimes inside these walls? It's called ministry. That's the most important. It's sad to say that, well, we can't do what we do unless there is the money to do it with. That's true. But we can look at the blessing box. We never ever thought we could refill that thing twice a day, sometimes three times a day, and it's all gone. And yet, and I think I've told John and Dave this, and Ken, I go like, well, if there's nothing to give, well, then there's nothing in the box. But Lord, you've always provided, and it's always interesting in how that happens. John Arthur says, you're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry. Because he sees what comes in and how it can be stocked in the blessing box. And we have no idea the people who use it. But it's being used, and it's a blessing to a lot of people, for sure. And so, Lord, this is who you are. You're like this. You give to us what we could never do ourselves. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And it's available here even right now for us to come to believe and trust in you. By faith. By faith, we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of my sin, and I want you to be in the driver's seat, behind the wheel. I give you the wheel. And I just want to follow you my whole life. Help me. It's like, you know, I can't do it without you. And so, Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray when they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. Lord, you smile upon us today because you love us and you care about us. Thank you for bringing us together this morning, not only for the worship service, but even if it's to celebrate a birthday. May your blessing be upon all that takes place now as well as following this service. We pray and we put into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. It's impossible to sing this song sitting down. Sorry. The blessed assurance, perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, looking above. Quicker than mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, bringing the love, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Go in peace and serve the Lord.